Father, we come to you tonight, grateful to be here. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. Thank you for our youngsters already going on downstairs with Kids for Truth. Lord, probably right now they're in the middle of the Bible story. Take the Bible, Lord, and use it. We know it's quick and powerful. And Lord, use it in the hearts of the boys and girls that are there tonight. Even our workers, Lord. Could be some workers down there that are worn out, a little fatigued, maybe discouraged. I pray you'll use Kids for Truth and even the lessons in the music to encourage our adults tonight in the Lord. Lord, if there be any of our children tonight that are here downstairs that have never trusted Christ personally, Lord, I pray tonight perhaps the salvation gospel will be given. I pray they'd talk to their teacher, talk, Lord, tonight, and have the desire to trust Christ as they work in their heart. Thank you for our teens, Lord. I pray you'll work in our young people's heart. Lord, I pray for any that have never trusted Jesus Christ. I pray tonight would be the night, even in youth group, Lord, they would turn from their sins, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ personally for salvation. I pray that those that are saved, Lord, our young people would be surrendered to whatever God has for them, Lord. Be willing to be used of you even right now. Thank you for our adults that are here tonight, Lord. Pray that they'd come tonight. Perhaps they're discouraged. Perhaps they're worried. Perhaps they're stressed. Perhaps they've got major burdens. Perhaps they are keeping it to themselves. We don't know, Lord, everyone's challenges, but you do, Lord. And I pray tonight we'll give those to you. Cast our burdens upon the Lord, for you will sustain us, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Lord, I pray tonight we'd have a heart of love, think of others, opportunity to lift up prayer requests. We want to lift up now this prayer request that was mentioned, Lord. Many know Ethan that comes here on occasion. Some know Lauren, his older sister. Some have never met Ella, his mother Michelle, I believe it is, Lord, a stepfather. Lord, we don't know what happened down there. We're grateful, Lord, as far as we know, everyone was safe and out of the home. But, Lord, it's certainly a difficult time if they're watching their home burn and possessions. Lord, we pray for the firemen that may be working for safety, to be able to get that put out. And then, Lord, that we could come alongside perhaps as a church family and not only minister to them, Lord, by praying, but also, Lord, coming alongside compassionately to be a help and a testimony. Lord, as far as we know, they don't know Christ. They may know about Christ, but have never maybe trusted Christ. And I pray you'd use us, Lord, as a church family to be a blessing to them and meet their needs that they're going to have here in the days ahead. Lord, we're glad to be able to be here tonight in this midweek service. Lord, may you be honored and glorified by all that we do. May we sing this next hymn, Lord, with all of our heart for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And so just a little bit of information on that. Next, let's take our hymn books, 574, 574. Let's go ahead and stand and sing, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? 574. 574. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
All right. Thank you, Shane. We'll dismiss our teens. Can't help as you sing that. Maybe your mind goes to the Apostle Paul, talking about why others fought to win the prize. Maybe it goes to the five men that just had an anniversary a few weeks back there, the men that were killed, Jim Elliott and his four companions there in Ecuador. Maybe your mind goes to Stephen the Martyr, maybe John and Betty Stamm. Maybe you don't read a lot of the biographies, Fox's Book of Martyrs, unknown people we'll never know about till we get to heaven, but thankful for those who, that's That's probably one of my top 10 hymns. I say, hey, play that. Absolutely. Sing that at my funeral. That'd be great. Doesn't mean I always live it, but I want to, that'd be my prayer. Increase my courage, Lord. I love stanza 2. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? Ugh, I hope not, Lord. While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. I hope that we're soldiers of the cross and pressing on and not running from difficulties and afflictions. The Apostle Paul, the Word of God says, yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Let me ask you, I was asked myself, have you been persecuted recently for the cause of Christ? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, I broke the law and I got in trouble. Oh. Or I didn't pay my taxes, or I did things illegally, or had a rude attitude, and so my children were mean. Oh, I'm being persecuted. No, I'm talking about for the cause of Christ. You took a stand. You did something for the gospel. You didn't compromise. Oh, that doesn't always happen. I pray that I would have the courage to stand for the Lord. Tremendous hymn there. In your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 tonight. We're in the book of Philippians on Wednesday nights. And I'll tell you, if you really want to rapidly grow in the Lord, have daily personal time with God. Many of you do that. Devotions, God and I time. Maybe you have a Bible reading time and a Bible study time. Two different things. They're not the same. Reading the Bible, maybe you read the chapters of the day, or you're reading through a book, or you do a short devotional, but there ought to be some Bible study time. Add to that scripture memory, memorizing a verse per week, or the verse per day, some of you, memorizing an entire chapter, the verse of the month. Add to that reading great biographies. If you'd like to borrow biographies, as long as I get it back, I probably have at least 40 to 45 biographies that are Christian. I have great missionaries, people of the faith there. I love those, highly recommend those in your walk with the Lord. Real people doing real things. These aren't fiction books, all right? These are real stories, reality. Men and women, often just like us, who God used, some from lots from checkered pasts, things they didn't think God could use, and you see God use them in a great way. And so they're an encouragement and a blessing. And then if you really want to keep growing, come to the church services. Come to all of them, all right? Get involved in the other things, that ladies' Bible studies if you can, men's prayer breakfasts, soul winning. Get involved in as many of those things as possible. Begin serving. Put the Wednesday night study together by coming to Sunday school, adult class, Life and Ministry of the Apostle Paul, Part 2. Wow, it'll really start clicking. Things in the Word of God as you start saying, okay, wow, I'm seeing Paul do these things. I'm seeing God use him. And so I'll tell you, this is a companion, if you would, type series that goes along with the Sunday school lesson as we just started this past Sunday, the Life and Ministry of the Apostle Paul, Part 2. We're in Acts 20 on Sunday mornings, and a lot of these places we're reading about and things are happening in the book of Acts as we study that. Philippians chapter 1 is where you're at tonight. I've got my two Bibles, not because I'm better than you, double Bibles, but because, as I mentioned, my Bible I use, I've got a little bit of a page rip out there, Thompson Chain page 1246, so I can't quite read some of 8, 9, 10, and 11. I don't know what happened to that little scrap of the Bible there. I think it's the only page. I've had this Thompson Chain since 2012, so usually I'll swap out a Bible about every 15 years if it's well-worn. All right, doesn't mean I get rid of it, but so I've not yet done that one, but I'm missing some of that page. So I'm reading from this. This is another Thompson Chain. You can still see the gold letter pretty good. I got this one when I was ordained here, all right? But I have not yet transferred over to that one yet, although I read it on occasion because I don't have any writing in it. I didn't add anything, no underlining or writing any notes. So sometimes a fresh look will help me. Philippians chapter 1. If you're here tonight for the first time and this is new to you, great. If you're here, this is the fifth consecutive, if it would be Wednesday, that we have been in the book of Philippians, and we'll continue tonight. Verses 1 through 14 tonight. We're going to read 1 through 14. Paul is in prison. He's in jail. He's chained to at least one, perhaps two, of the Roman guard at all times. He's awaiting trial, as far as we know, based on Scripture and the book of Acts. But he's not thinking of himself, he's thinking of others, and he writes a letter to the saints saved at the town of Philippi. So let's read the first 14 verses. See if you can see the heart of the Apostle Paul. All right? Paul, and Timotheus, another way of saying Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Now here's a little additional. Not all the saints, especially a little extra greeting, with the bishops, that's just the pastors, and the deacons, servants. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What does that challenge your prayer life? That's what the Apostle Paul is praying for the believers at Philippi. Wow! That you would not be satisfied with your love, but it would abound more and more, and to be abounding in knowledge based on the scriptures and in all judgment. I'm praying, verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. Not everything's excellent or biblical or God-ordained. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We'll look at that probably next week, what that means. What does it mean, without offense till the day of Christ? Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now we're getting some verses we haven't read yet, verses 12 through 14. But I would, we have a flickering light, what is that? That we got something, there we go, boom, boom, we got something going on off. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now he waited to verse 12 to really discuss anything, because they're probably wanting to know, Paul, how are you doing? Paul, are you struggling? Paul, are you going to be released soon? Paul, what's your condition? Paul, I can't believe this has happened. I can't believe God did this. I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. What? You mean because of this the gospel gets out more and more? Uh-huh. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That doesn't sound like the way it would work. You think, no, brethren would be scared. If they found out that one of your leaders was put in bonds, then people, no, that's not what happened though. The exact opposite happened. He said, actually the brethren are more confident now. Well, why would they be more confident? Because of my bonds. In fact, they're speaking out more boldly. They're actually becoming more like the hymn we just sang. Soldiers of the cross. Not fearful, not going in within closed doors and be like, wait, everybody quiet. Turn the lights down. We don't want to be arrested. No, actually, the gospel is being advanced more because of my bonds. Actually, what's happened to me has been a tremendous blessing. In fact, the brethren have taken courage. Wow, Paul, are you just saying that kind of stuff? No. You see the Apostle Paul's heart. We've looked at this a lot in adult Sunday school class. If you looked at any secular writing on Paul, or even a lot of junk that's out there from so-called religious people, and you're going to get a lot, even commentaries, Apostle Paul, he's this... he doesn't like ladies, and he's powerful, and he doesn't get along with people, and he, after all, is split with Barnabas, the one thing they, and he's so hard to get along with, and he's a grouch, and he's just mean, and he's blah, 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 but that's not even close, all right? That's how they mischaracterized Christ, didn't they? And you read Paul's letters, you read his epistles, you combine that with the book of Acts, he's a man that deeply loved people. He loved people, and people loved him. All right, you really can't fake that, remember? I mean, everybody can have a small little group around them, even mean, nasty people, right? I mean, even people in the mafia. I mean, they got people that love them, all right? Even people that are cruel, but not much more than a small little group, all right? The Apostle Paul had a wide variety, all right, in all around the known world of people, though he was severely persecuted, young and old, men and women. We're going to see that in the book of Acts on Sunday morning. Even children. All right, weeping and hugging him and holding him. And wow, all right, you really can't fake that long term, all right? You could do it a little bit now and then, but people see that. And the Apostle Paul deeply loved. Did you see how open he was here? I mean, he's not making this stuff up. I love you. I thank my God for you. I pray for you constantly, joyfully. I'm so I have you in my heart. Oh, I mean, close love for the believers at Philippi. But tonight, like we've done a little bit in the past, Lord, we're getting to more down the whole way through here, but I want to look at something that keeps coming up, and that would be Paul's bonds, all right? We've looked at that a little bit. We referenced it last week a little bit. Tonight, if you're given a title, I know Jim Page is probably watching from home up there in Moscow. So title tonight, simply Paul's Bonds, all right? I don't know if anybody takes notes on Wednesday nights. Paul's Bonds. When we say that, what do you think of Paul's bonds? When you hear bonds, Paul's chains, do you think, oh, that's sad? Is that your first thought? Is it, that'd be terrible. I couldn't do it. That'd be discouraging. Paul's bonds. And yet, what was Paul's bonds? It was his burden. It was his suffering. But yet, we see throughout the scriptures, it was God's glory. It was the gospel's advancement. And it doesn't mean Paul never had dark days. All right? In fact, you read the last chapter of Acts 28. I'm not going to do that tonight. But the interesting verse that's easily to miss. I jumped over it many years, and it's, somebody pointed out to me, and I pause every time I read it. Said that on that long journey where he had the shipwrecked in months before he finally got to Rome, it says he was coming into Rome, some brethren met him. That's not even, he'd never been to Rome. They didn't know him, and he didn't know them, as far as we know. Some brethren met him, and it said Paul saw them and took courage. Oh, wow, the Apostle Paul. He's not perfect. No, he's not perfect. All right? No, he had down days. He was lonely, sometimes forsaken. Said it was such a blessing that there was a small group of believers from Rome heard that the Apostle Paul was coming to town in chains, and they actually came out to greet him. And when Paul saw it, it said he took courage. That meant a lot. That was a blessing to him. It's one way that we as brethren can encourage other people. All right. So Paul was not always, he wasn't Superman, and I don't think the Bible portrays him as that. He was a person that God greatly used. But I'll look at his bonds. All right. Now, we just read it there four times in chapter 1. We didn't read the last one. Paul references his bonds. Verse 7. If you mark your Bible, you maybe want to underline that little phrase, or you put a little circle around my bonds. Verse 7. In the very middle of verse 7, it says, inasmuch as both in my bonds. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ. Verse 14, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. And then we did not read verse 16, but verse 16 ends, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Four times he mentions his bonds, his imprisonment, his chained, 24/7. Again, is that arms and feet? Is it one arm, one foot? We don't always know. There's different things you can read. One guard, two guards. We don't know. All right, that house arrest. But it was constant. It was always there. Wasn't something you could just maybe get released. Maybe every once in a while. I don't know if they would let you relax, stretch. No idea. I imagine it wasn't the pleasantest experience. But Paul talks about his bonds. But yet, what does he say later in the book? Go to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. And yet he says very familiar verses, 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Think he always was easy to rejoice in bonds? Probably not. What does he say in verse 6, another well-known verse? Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's not as easy to keep your heart and mind what God wants it when you're in bonds, when you're lonely, when it gets discouraging. And yet, what's Paul saying? Paul is thinking of others, and he's saying, no, I take these things to the Lord. I do it with joy, and God gives me a peace which passeth all understanding. Wow. All right, that's pretty amazing. Look at verse 9. What does he say, verse 9? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's not enough to just know. You've got to do it. It's not enough to quote, rejoice the Lord. Sing the little chorus. Rejoice the Lord, oh, and again I say rejoice. We can all do that. But you've got to do it. And so what is Paul? He's encouraging the believers while he's in prison to give it to the Lord, rest in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, experience the peace from God. And then he says, and what you've seen in me, do it. And God will give you the exact same peace. Well, that's just the Apostle Paul. He's special. No. You can do the very same thing. All right, let's see if we can see a pattern. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians. It's the right book right before Philippians. So if you're a new Bible believer, or you're young in the faith, or you're just starting to search the scriptures, maybe you've just been one of those that come to church for years and you just come and sit. You know, you can come to church for 40 years and do that and not really grow. Maybe you said, you know, I'm going to start doing more than that. I'm going to turn the Bible. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to search. I'm going to do some more than that, not just sit there. Maybe you've heard the term prison epistles, prison letters. An epistle is just another way of saying a letter. So when we say Paul's epistles or Pauline epistles, or your Bible may even say that, the official title of the book, the Epistle of Paul the Apostle, all right? Epistle, just another way of saying a letter. So there are 13 letters that Paul wrote, and they're all in division. They're all in order, Romans through Philemon. They're all in the Bible. We put them to have them together, all right? And so there's the 13 Pauline letters. They're either written to a church or an individual. But out of that group of 13, there's another group. They're called prison epistles. Letters he wrote while he was in prison. And there are a total of 5 of those. All right. Now some only count the ones, 3 that were written to churches, which is fine. But there's a total of 5 that he wrote in prison. Now it may not always been the same prison. Not all of them were necessarily house arrest. So one's Ephesians, one's Philippians, one's Colossians. Those 3 are all together. And then 2 are written individuals. One's written to Timothy. That's the book of 2 Timothy. And one's written to Philemon. We're going to look at each one of those very briefly tonight, because I want you to notice in these prison epistles, when he references his bonds. All right? So in the book of Ephesians, now again, you would not even know he's a prisoner, especially if you started reading Ephesians chapter 1. Wow, right? One of the most glorious, incredible chapters in the entire Bible. You'd say, there's no way this guy's in prison, all right? And chapter 2, it continues. Wow, Paul is just, whew. But you get to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Oh, wow. I guess he's a prisoner. All right. Chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Guess what? He's never going to say, I'm a prisoner of Rome. I, Paul, the prisoner of the unjust government of the Roman Empire. I, Paul, falsely accused prisoner of the emperor. I am a prisoner of the Lord. Interesting. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6. Let's read 19 and 20 because they go together. Some of you memorized 19 last year. And for me, here's Paul giving one of his few personal prayer requests. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Remember, he's in jail. He says, I'm asking you to pray for me. Why? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You mean the Apostle Paul had to, he asked a personal prayer request that people would pray for him that he would be bold in opening his mouth. Yes! Take courage, all right? The Apostle Paul, he was humble enough to write that to the church at Ephesus. And please pray for me specifically, because I don't always do it. Not the Apostle Paul. That utterance would be given unto me that I would open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because maybe these two guys they just chained me to are pretty intimidating. Maybe they're gruff. Maybe they just gave me a couple profanities and said, you listen, don't you even bring that up. Not the Apostle Paul. He's superhuman. I'm in my bonds. I'm an ambassador for Christ, but I need to be able to speak boldly. Would you pray for me? Wow. All right. That's amazing, isn't it? All right. How about Colossians? Jump over the book of Philippians because we've already read those. Go to the book of Colossians. So you come to the book of Colossians, the church of Colossae. By the way, not a church that we have any record that Paul started, all right, unlike all the other ones. So we don't have any record that he even went to Colossae, but you can read the book and figure out some things on your own. But he's certainly writing to this group of believers. He's not with them, but you get to the last chapter, chapter number 4. And what does he say? Chapter 4, verse 3. Another personal prayer request. Chapter 4, verse 3. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Sometimes missionaries use this verse. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Oh, wow, he is in prison when he writes this. He's in bonds, all right? And he's going to say it again, verse 18. The salutation or the letter by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. He doesn't say that usually. He's never bothered by him. He's superhuman. No. Remember my bonds. Remember me and my bonds, my chains. Grace be unto you. Amen. Wow. All right. So we've got some prison epistles. Go to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. Now, Pauline epistles are not in chronological order. I believe they're in the order that God wanted them. 2 Timothy is his final letter he ever wrote. And this is not house arrest. This is the dungeon. Not chained to anybody. Dark, cold, wet dungeon. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's writing to an individual, young Timothy, his son in the faith. Verse 8, 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Timothy's a younger man. He gets scared, right? You know, well, you know verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but right? Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of me. And I'm a prisoner. I know, it's dangerous now. Oh, you guys know Paul? Paul, I've never heard of him. Who's that? you don't want to be known. I mean, they're hounding, they're tracking people down. You guys know, no, we're not a friend. It's sort of like Peter, right? No, I don't ever heard of him. No, don't know the man. No, we're not one of his. He's in the dungeon now. This isn't house arrest. This is getting serious. This is Nero. This is hunt down Christians. And so a lot of people withdrew from him. He's not getting visitors. All right. You can see that at the end of chapter 1. Look at verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Wow. I want to know Onesiphorus. Whoa, that took a lot of courage. That's the hymn we sang. Must I be carried to the clouds? Beds of ease? I mean, this man could have been arrested. He was willing to be identified. He found me. He sought me out. He refreshed me. What a blessing he was to me. I was lonely. In fact, look at what Paul says in verse 18. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, that's previously, thou knowest very well. Hey, when Paul puts someone's name in there, that's the Holy Spirit puts that in there. And it's a man who is not ashamed of the Apostle Paul, though he was in chains and in the dungeon. And Timothy's having to be reminded of that a little bit there, all right? How about chapter 2, verse 9? This is, I think, the key verse. And all of the Pauline epistles dealing with Paul's bonds. Verse 9. Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Wow. I mean, there you go. There's the secret. I may be in bounds. I may be in chains, but the word of God is not bound and never can be and never will be. It is the living word of God. It is quick. It is powerful. It can't be chained. It can't be. It's the word of God. It can't be destroyed. Whoa. I may be in bonds. And you know what? Think about it. If we were living in those days and we had a prayer meeting at the house of Onesiphorus or Aristarchus or Philemon, and they started the service off by saying, we have some new, well, it looks like people have been crying. We just received word that our beloved brother, Paul, has been martyred for Christ. No, Paul. So-and-so was an eyewitness on the Appian Way outside of Rome, beheaded. You know, how will we ever make it? The Apostle Paul, everything's going to fall apart and crumble. No, everything's not going to fall apart and crumble. The word of God is not bound. God raises up other people. Well, how can we ever make it? No one's ever been like the Apostle Paul. He's a giant. He is. But God's not bound, and the word of God's not bound. Somebody else takes that place, and some people we know their names, and some people don't take their names. And Paul says, don't be ashamed. It's okay. All right. What was Paul's secret? We're going to wrap it up with that in just a little bit. Go to chapter 4. He's not going to mention his bonds, but I'm trying to read some verses here. We don't need to go to the bookstore and look up a book. The secret to Christian living. The secret to a joyful life. Try to find nuggets that are outside of the Bible. If it's worth reading, it's based on the Bible and Bible principles. That doesn't mean if there's a book title that you have. Sorry, there may be. Doesn't mean there's not some value in those. But everything you need is right here in the Word of God. Now, it's helpful to read sometimes a biography of a person who suffered some things and you can identify, but they should point us back to the Scriptures. But we're reading about a man that mentioned his bonds quite a bit, especially in his prison epistles when he wrote the letters. But yet, we don't see him stressed. Doesn't mean he didn't have... We don't see him anxious, worried, angry, bitter, full of revenge. We don't see him... suing the government and unjust things here and getting everybody stirred up, his followers, to riot and get them out of there. He seems pretty focused on two or three things. The furtherance of the gospel. Doesn't matter if I'm in my bonds. The word of God is not bad. You don't have to be the Apostle Paul. All right. In fact, read his letters. I'm not a great speaker. Based on what the churches say, at least Church Corinth didn't think he was. His letters are deep and powerful, but when you see him in person, the Apostle Paul, he's not very eloquent. You know, that's the Apostle Paul, you know. That's not who I picture. I thought he's some, you know, superhuman giant that we've lifted up to status that, you know. No, no. He had a lot of physical challenges. He had a thorn in the flesh. He had a checkered past persecuting the church. Oh, my goodness. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the chief of sinners. But he's in prison. What is he doing? The secret for all of us. Ministering to others. Ministering to others. Ministering to others. Because let me tell you, if you just sit, you'll wallow in your sorrow. You'll wallow in yourself. There'll be self-pity, self-everything, and it'll just ruin you. And that could have easily have happened to him. We can think of others in the Bible who were in prison. Study that. It's great study. John the Baptist, beheaded. Joseph, Old Testament, Daniel. I mean, there were others. Maybe not in an actual prison, but for certain things. There are people in prison. We think of Randy Boston. Wow. Think he had some hard days? Need some long days? Do I pray for him as often as I should? No. Boy, I was studying this today and it's like, oh my goodness. I haven't prayed for Randy Boston in a while. What if that was me? What if that was me? Is this year two, year three, Pastor? I'm not sure how long he's been in here. Wow. Yeah. Former pastor. Wow. Some long days in there. How do you survive that? Yeah, man. I think I would want people praying for me and writing a letter to me and trying to encourage me. And then, yes, God has a purpose. And there's others that we don't know and those we know and some of you veto and others that, wow, that'd be tough. What is he doing? How does he not just sit around and get angry and bitter when you go visit him? He's ministering to others from prison. He's writing letters. He's encouraging. Read every prison epistle. He sends people to them. I'm sending Timothy to you. I got to know how you're doing. I'm sending Trophimus. I'm checking on you. I've got to know your state. I want to know how you're doing. He's not focused at all on himself. Now, that's not easy. That's supernatural. That can only come from God. And his letters are encouraging. And he says, rejoice in the Lord and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And the word of God is not bound. And when you read his final letter here, it was dark days. Verse 10 of 2 Timothy 4, Demas, who was a faithful worker with him earlier, if you read the other letters of Colossae and Philemon, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. Other people are off to different places. They're not with him. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Faithful Dr. Luke. He's saying, oh boy, there are people here and there. And he gets down, look at verse 17 of 2 Timothy 4. I'm sorry, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Likely not a literal lion, but perhaps just a reference to the devil as a roaring lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. The Lord was with me. The Lord was faithful, and he always was. And you know what? The Lord was with him even until his head was cut off. And the Lord was with him as he was taken to heaven. And the Lord never abandoned him. And he won't abandon any of us either. Our final letter, and we must finish, is the little book of Philemon. One page probably in most Bibles. Turn to your right there, Titus, and you come to the little letter, the very personal letter to Philemon. Now this is rare. Look how he starts off the letter right at the very beginning. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Doesn't usually do that. Verse 9, yet for love's sake I rather beseech you, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. But he's writing a letter to somebody, even though he's in prison. And what's he doing? He's writing on behalf of somebody else. Verse 10. I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Similar wording, not exactly the same. Christ was not created. He was God and always was, always is. But he says, I'm sending to you a young man named Onesimus, probably the one who's delivering the letter. I birthed him. Spiritually birthed him in bonds. He was a fellow prisoner, maybe. I shared Christ. We don't know the story. But I begot him while I was in my bonds. I'm sending him to you. Wow, look at verse 13 and two verses left. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Verse 23, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. You have five letters that Paul wrote that we know of where he referenced his bonds or he's a prisoner. In every letter, though, he's writing to somebody else and he's encouraging them and he's challenging them. And almost everyone, he sends someone else along to check on their estate. And so you say, well, what's the key? How did Paul not lose his mind? How did he not go crazy? How did he not break down in depression? It doesn't mean he never had dark days. How did he not just turn into a looning maniac and just, you know, I can't take it? Same thing that would be the answer for any of us. You have to obviously know Christ as Savior and have that personal relationship with him. But you've got to focus on others. You have to pour your life into others. Yes, your family. Yes, your immediate family, but yes, your church family. There's got to be some spiritual thing behind it. Yes, you can be nice to people. Nothing wrong being neighbors or work in a soup kitchen of a secular thing. Nothing wrong with those kind of things. Giving out, those are fine, all right? But there ought to be something spiritual attached that makes even more of a difference. Someone came to me and said, Pastor, I can't get, I'm just always stressed. I can't sleep. All I do is meditate all day on my problems or my sicknesses or my health or my family or people who've done me wrong. I just think of them constantly, and many people do that. Meditate constantly on all their problems, everything, and that's human nature, and that's easy for all of us to do that. My past, all I do is think about my past, and it just affects me. Well, what's the secret? The Word of God. Be in the Scriptures. Meditate on the Scriptures. Obey the Scriptures. Rejoice in the Lord. Give it to the Lord with thanksgiving. Accept where you're at and what's happening. Doesn't mean that things can't change. If someone came to me and says, can you be very practical? I say, yes. All right, here you go. I've got your calendar for the next week if you can do it. If you're retired or you don't have to work or you're able to do it, well, what do you want me to do? Here you go. I've got you Monday. You'll be busy all day. Where am I going? You're visiting every shut-in at the church. Really? Yeah. Okay. How long? You stay there as long as you want. Each 1 hour, 2 hours, till they send you, tell you to leave. All right? Go to their homes. Visit with them. Talk to them. Pray with them. Clean up their house. At the end, let's see, at the end of Monday, now you'd probably be too tired. Maybe you might get a good night's rest. And at the end of the day, you know what you're going to be thinking about? Wow, those people have a lot of challenges. Boy, I got them on my heart. I didn't even think about myself all day. Okay, what's Tuesday, Pastor Boyer? All right, well, you're going to go around. We'll have you visit all. We got 25 visitors here. I haven't been able to go by and visit. I'll send you out, and you knock on their doors and visit. Visit all the children, Kids for Truth. Visit all the teens' homes. Check on them. Okay, wow, that's a busy day. I didn't think about myself or my problems. My leg that hurt all the time. It still hurts, but I don't really think about it during the day. Wow, that's great. What's the rest of the week? Well, Wednesday, you're just going to pray. You're going to pray through the director. You're going to reach out to people, send messages, text messages, emails, calls, check on people. Thursday, wow, what's Friday? Friday, you're going to start writing letters to every one of our missionaries. Personally, what? Yeah, reach out to our missionaries. Face to check. Whoa! What? How long do I keep doing that? Always. Well, that doesn't mean my problems are going to go away. That's correct. Paul's chains didn't disappear. Paul's bonds, he didn't get them free. He's ministering to others. He's thinking of others. We have over 40 missionaries. You could write to them. You could call them. You could visit them. You could pour yourself into them. You could volunteer at some that are close here in Pennsylvania. You'd be amazed what happens when you start focusing on others. Go start witnessing to everybody in your neighborhood. That's Saturday. Go ahead, you and your family, or you personally. Go out and pass it. Wow, you'd be amazed at the end of that week. Say, what happened at the end of that week? I don't know. Try it. Is that magic? Does it mean everybody's going to? No, but you're going to be amazed. Guess what? You're going to be sitting on your recliner. You're probably not going to think much of your problems. Doesn't mean they don't exist. You're going to be thinking, of all the people that you were out ministering to, and you're going to be praying for that shut-in, that widow, and that little child, and you're going to pray for that neighbor, and you're going to think of the three missionaries. You're going to be thinking of them constantly. You're going to be praying for them, and you're going to be writing them, and they're going to be on your heart even as you're working. Whoa! Which is exactly what was happening with the Apostle Paul as he sat in prison. And you come to church on Sunday and you got a whole church family to minister to. And you got Wednesday night, church family to minister to. Now that doesn't mean that everybody can do that with jobs and families, but you'd be amazed at what happens if you begin to do that, and you'd be amazed at how you begin to rejoice in the Lord. You've got a purpose. Other people are counting on you. You start praying. You start praying for all those children. Wow, you'll notice when they're not there. You start praying for those neighbors. You'll have a great burden to see them win Christ. Those missionaries, you'll probably want to host them and have them over. You start visiting all those shut-ins. You'll remember them and think of them constantly and be doing things for them, and your time and energy and things. Other people may even notice that you've got a lighter step. You seem more happy and more joyful. What's going on with you? Others, Lord, others. Others. Now, after a while of doing that, those people are counting on you. You've got some sons and daughters in the faith. In a way, you're like an Apostle Paul, and you're checking on them like a mother hen, and you love them, and that's your burden, and that's your passion, and that keeps you going. And God's giving you joy from that. Whoa, that's how you transform a life. Doesn't mean everybody can do that at every time, but it's possible. Put it to the test. Do it for a whole week. See what happens. Do it for a whole day if you need to. All right? You'd be amazed at what would happen after just one day, six hours of doing that. And many of you may do that. Apostle Paul's in bonds. Doesn't mean there's no problems. Doesn't mean we ignore all the things that are going in life. Doesn't mean he always had a smile on his face. Doesn't mean he never had dark days. Doesn't mean he never got discouraged. Doesn't mean there weren't times he questioned God why. But you can start doing those things and all you focus on is the why. And you can get very cold, very dark, very stressed. I think the Apostle Paul slept well. We read his epistles. We see that God used him. Folks came to know Jesus Christ. The Word of God is not bound. Be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the peace. Do you have peace? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Ultimately, Lord, the Word of God comes down to personal obedience. Some watching or listening might say, I've heard that before. It don't work, preacher. That's some people, but not me. Lord, we're to walk in the Word of God. We're to trust you. We're not to live by feelings. We're to live by faith. We're to take the Word of God as 100% truth. We're to act on it in faith. We're to prove you. We're to test your Word. And Lord, when we have a cause to live for greater than ourselves, and oftentimes, Lord, the things that bog us down will slip by the wayside. That doesn't mean our health is automatically improved or that bills are automatically paid. All the problems in life go away, but Lord, they sure do slide by the wayside and seem quite insignificant when we realize there's so much more to live for. There's people without Jesus Christ. There's families that are hurting. There's those that I have gifts I can meet their need. I can the gift of encouragement, cards and personal letters and personal visits. Oh, Lord, we'll not have time for all the things sometimes that bog us down. Lord, we see that repeated not only in the life of the Apostle Paul, but in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to serve, but to serve others, not to minister, but to be ministered unto. Lord, to minister to others. We see that in the lives of great Christians that we read about, Lord, how they poured themselves into something greater than themselves. Many of our great missionaries and Christian leaders had health problems their entire life. Many times their spouses died, their children died, they were persecuted, but Lord, they carried on because there was something greater to live for. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Lord, I pray that we would be soldiers of the cross, that we would endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would willingly suffer for the cause of Christ and rejoice knowing that you, Lord, will never desert us. Lord, I think of many who are longing to have some encouragement. Lord, prick the hearts, I pray, of believers tonight. Lord, if we're not really pouring ourselves into people, and Lord, we're missing really the entire ministry. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit gave us some inside track on the Apostle Paul and his bonds and his life and his ministry and even his feelings, Lord, in order to encourage us and comfort us and challenge us. Now, Lord, I pray that if you've laid on anyone's heart tonight, an individual, a family member, a neighbor, one who used to attend here but hasn't in many years, child, a teenager, an elderly, a shut-in, a widow, a widower, whoever it may be. Lord, I pray we would act upon that if your spirit presses upon our heart. If we're burdened to write a letter, we'll write a letter to make a personal visit. Lord, to not just live behind closed doors, keeping to ourselves, but Lord, to live for others as Christ did. Thank you for your word. May we walk in truth, Lord, this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our time is up there. We've